What's good, everybody? We back with another episode of We Just Be Talking. It's your host, Gold. Hope everybody's been doing well. Everybody's been staying safe. It hasn't been too crazy. Well, I ain't gonna say that. That's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. It's been real crazy. The past couple days of the podcast, but it was before that. It's been the last wild couple of weeks. Between the Cali fires, we had all these planes that's either crashing, catching on fire. It's a lot going on. We got an orange Cheeto parading as a politician that's trying to, you know, further destroy the economy. It's a lot going on. So, I pray daily for everyone. What I know, you don't know, your loved ones. Enemies, you know, everybody. I pray for them. That's all, you know, everyone stays protected, because it's been a lot of turnover and turmoil going on in the world lately. So, you know, just stay safe. Just stay safe. Now that we got this out the way. All right. So I told you I was going to have a couple podcast episodes. So originally I was going to drop the Kendrick episode today. Kendrick's going to come today. But the Kendrick episode has been put on hold again. I apologize. The Kendrick episode has been put on hold again. Not for too long. It'll probably be like, I'm going to say by the end of Black History Month, we're going to get that out. It's just that I got in touch with the homie Jock, and we talked the phone. It was brief. Like, he's super busy. Like, he making crazy moves. And one thing I know about him, he listens to this podcast. Whenever I drop an episode, he's gonna listen to it. And that's one reason why I love him and appreciate him. And I know you're listening right now at some point when it's dropped, but I'm really proud of you, bro. Like, you making moves. Like, keep it going. Like, don't stop. like keep the foot on the gas. Do not stop. Don't hit the brakes. Don't yield nothing. Just keep going. You got it. You're doing your thing. But he's gonna be joining the podcast soon. It's gonna be soon. I think his schedule's about to, for what we talked, I think his schedule's about to get a little wiggle room after probably next week, I would say. Probably next week or week after that, I wanna say. Cause like I said, you know, just got married last year, then he just came from his honeymoon, and this weekend coming up is the birthday. So shout out to you, bro. You know, happy early birthday. You know, we gonna link up, do something at some point. When you get back, I know you'll be out of town. So, you know, we'll do something, we'll link back up. Like I said, my dog be busy now. He don't even be in the city like that. He be moving. So when you come back, we're gonna drop the we're gonna work on that Kendrick episode, because we talked about it, and he was like, you know, I think it'd be good if my debut on the podcast would be, you know, discussing the Kendrick album. And I was like, and then when I read it, I was like, yeah, I said, yeah, you got a point. And then I continued to read, and then he said, like, you know, since that was the first time I did an episode on the podcast, I was a guest. It was during that. It was when we talked about Mr. Morale, and I was like, yeah, I said, I remember that. Like, we have an episode. It's way down the list now. It probably is in season three to season four, where we talked about Mr. Morale and the big steppers, and we kind of gave our perspective and opinions on the album. And it was a good episode. It was a good episode. It was a real solid episode. That's when I was setting up the guest gauntlet that never really got to finish going because life happens, but it's okay. I'm gonna probably start that up again. That guest gauntlet gonna probably start again. It's gonna happen this time for sure. Like, I said last episode, like, this year is about intention, and I want to go back to my original plan of doing the guest gauntlet, and I want to bring on the people that I want to bring on, and I want to have good dialogue, healthy discourse, and I'm going to do it. And so if you got invited to the guest gauntlet those many moons ago, know that your time is coming again, and we're going to actually do it this time. Like, I promise. And so Jock was saying like it would be a good idea if he thought it would be a good idea if he come for the episode. So I like it's a good idea. So I've shelved the Kendrick Lamar episode. We're gonna shelve that, which is fine because we have dropped my chapstick. Which is fine because we have a bunch of things happening away. So I probably wasn't gonna get to that this weekend away because I got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's sports, life stuff. It's a lot going on. We gotta talk about this week. So I was gonna get to it regardless. So that's gonna happen. You know, sooner rather than later, promise it's gonna happen. And Casino T or TJ, I'll still be saying TJ. I know he wants to go by Casino T, but Casino T wants y'all to call him Casino T, so we're gonna go with that. Casino T, is gonna be returning to, won't be this week. It might not be, he might be at the Super Bowl. He might return at the Super Bowl. Because we had snow days down here in Louisiana, in South Louisiana. We had snow days, so that kind of threw everybody's schedules off. And, he swamped at work. So, yeah, that's going to be, he'll pop back up at some point. Like I said, like previous episode, you know, they're going to come back. Well, Jock is going to make his debut, and Casino's going to come back. It's just a matter of when we get time to do it. So right now, it's just solo goal for right now. So I was going to talk about actual topic today, but we've had so much go on in sports. So this is a sports episode. So for those of you that don't really, you know, care for the sports episodes, and I haven't separated them yet, which I apologize. You know, I'm sorry, but we got to talk about some things because some things have happened. We had some major, major, major NBA news happen. And it's so crazy because this is Super Bowl week. And normally this is the time where all we talking about is who's going to win. Like, who's going to get the awards before the Super Bowl? Like, who's going to get the MVP? You know, all these kind of things. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? This Super Bowl is very, very, very important because Kansas City is going for the first ever three-peat in the modern NFL era. We ain't talking about like the 1920s or whatever it was, 50s when the Packers were winning, like when it actually became like the, like, you know, the at post merger. It's what we looking at. So, you know, that's exciting as well to see if that's going to come to fruition, like if they're going to complete the 3-peat or if the Eagles will stop the 3-peat because the Eagles are known for stopping 3-peats because they stopped ours. And by ours, I mean the Patriots. I am a Patriots fan. I've made this known many times on the podcast. They stopped on us from doing potential three-peat because we went 3 years in a row. We went 3 years in a row, believe it or not. But we lost one. But we lost one. We lost one in the middle. We beat the Falcons and lost to the Eagles. And then we beat the Rams. If we would have beat the Eagles that second time, we would have completed the three-peat. We were right there. But questionable defensive decisions that with player personnel in the game and other things kind of derailed that, but we're not gonna talk about that. We're not opening up our wounds. So yeah, it's very exciting because I want to see if the Chiefs can get it done, if the Eagles can, you know, get vengeance from their Super Bowl loss literally 2 years ago against Kansas City, which they played well enough to win but came up short. I know they say one play doesn't decide a game, especially not one early on, but that fumble that Jalen Hurts had, which was the only turnover in the game, that was the deciding factor. Like, I feel like if that wouldn't have happened, they probably would have won. And I'm pulling, I don't really care for either team, to be honest, because the Eagles have robbed us. Well, not robbed us. They earned it. They beat us fair and square. The Eagles to beat us, like, it's beef with the Eagles. And the Chiefs, I don't care for the Chiefs. I really don't. I truly don't like the Chiefs. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. We'll talk about that a little more later in the week, though. But what's exciting right now is NBA. The NBA has been having some crazy things going because we've had some block. And when I say blockbuster, I mean blockbuster trades have occurred because we had a bombshell drop on us. I can't say what. Let's see what time it's according to 2 in the morning. On Saturday evening, post game after the Lakers defeated the New York Knicks, around 11:30-ish, around that time, Shams posted a tweet saying, breaking news, the Los Angeles Lakers have traded Anthony Davis to the Dallas Mavericks for Luka Doncic. And it was like, whoa. Everybody's like, ain't no way this is real. Like, no, this isn't a thing. Like, no, there's no way this happened. Like, everybody was just like, no, nah, this fake. Like, everybody was thinking like, oh, this is Shams got hacked. Or Shams, he got hacked. Or they was like, are we getting scintilled right now? Like, this is a joke. He literally came back out and said, hey, y'all, this is real. This is happening. They made a trade for Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. It's happened. Like, the trade is done. So when I tell you Floyd was the word for the evening, for that evening. Because when I tell you everybody stopped caring about anything that was going on sports related, all that, everybody just stopped and was just like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, what is it? Like that really just happened. And then when you see the trade, was even crazier because, like, all the Mavs gave to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. Well, all the Lakers gave the Mavericks for Luka, I should say, because we're going to go off the better player. All they gave him was Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a first-round pick in 2029. And the Mavs sent off Doncic, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris. That was it. And then the Jazz thrown in and outflow some salary. So the Jazz got, like, the failed draft pick from a couple years ago and two second-round picks that was thrown in. That was just a little extra than the deal. But the deal was crazy because it's like you don't see players of that caliber and that young. You don't see players of that caliber and that young get moved, especially for that. Especially like that, like swaps a star for star kind of thing. That don't happen in the NBA a lot. Like, it really doesn't. Like, that's not a common thing. I think this is the wildest trade I've seen in a while in sports in general. It might be the most wild trade I've seen in the NBA as far as like a big name going. I ain't talking about like off of like stupidity, because to this day I feel like that Rudy Gobert trade was wild in itself. What all they gave up for Rudy Gobert, it was insane. Even the Donovan Mitchell haul was a bit excessive, but I mean, hey, if you overpay, you overpay. And I see people saying, like, you know, is this more shocking than LeBron to the Heat or KD to the Warriors? And with that, I have to say two things. For one, the LeBron going to the Heat was not a shocker. It wasn't. Like, it wasn't at all. Like, if you actually were keeping up with sports at that time and like the news reported, like multiple sources, and Stephen A. Smith himself came out and said, I think Chris Broussard, Stephen A. Smith, all of them came out and saying like LeBron's going to Miami, like it's a done deal that he's going to announce it. Like, the special is just him, is just a grand way for him to announce that he's going to go to Miami. That's all the special is for, but we know where he's going. And I called it. I was in 10th grade when that happened. Yeah, I was in 10th grade when that happened, I want to say. Because, let me see. 2010. Yeah, I was in 10th grade when that trade occurred. And so I'm going to 11th. And when that trade occurred. And I remember telling a few people, like a few of my partners, I was like, man, they're getting Bosh and LeBron coming to Miami. And at the time, because it's changed now, but at the time, that didn't really happen because of the money. Because, like, they wasn't going to let all them stars go to a team. But then it's like the money was a factor, too. Like, the salary cap wasn't what it is now. And the CBA was what it was. So it wasn't nothing that happened normally, like, with stars in their prime, that is. Like, yeah, we had the teams, like, we had the Lakers, they had the Gary Payton and Karl Malone. Like, you know, you get the teams to get the watch players towards the end of the career trying to chase a ring. Or like when Barkley went to the Rockets, or you know, so Scottie go to the Blazers, like stuff like that. Like that was normal. But to see people in their prime go to a team, that was just like just unfathomable at the time. Like, it was like you wouldn't think that was gonna happen. But it ended up happening. And like I said, if you kept up with the news, they had been talking about that for a while, about that being a thing, and I wasn't shocked by that. So I'll take that one out. KD to the Warriors. That one was more shocking to me because, that was another case of you don't see the fact. KD's was a little different than LeBron because KD's was like, you went to the team that beat you the year before. The Thunder were up 3-1 on the Warriors in the playoffs that year before they lost. And then for you to jump ship and go to the team that beat you, that was just wild. Like, that one caught me by surprise. But I would still say that this Luka and AD trade is, like, the most shocking one I've seen since I've been watching sports in general. Like, this was a shocker. And I like the trade. I do. People been having their opinions on it, saying they don't care for it, but I like the trade. I like it for different reasons for both teams. So, let's start with the Mavericks. For the Mavericks, I like it for the Mavericks because of the now. The now for the Mavericks matter because they went to the finals last year with Luka and Kyrie backcourt leading them to the finals. They made it to the finals. They lost to the Celtics, of course, but, you know, the Celtics were due. They were going to win regardless. That team was killing the entire year from top to bottom. Like, it was only – you knew they were going to win. Excuse me. It was one of the things where you're like, they're going to win. Like, I didn't have much doubt. And you make a move where you trade one of the pieces that got you there. You do. And Luka Doncic, you do. And then you trade them for AD. The reason why I like to trade for them is because it kind of puts them in position to win right now with AD, because AD ain't no mid player. Like, AD is a top 10, 15 player in the league. Like, if you want to say that's too generous, then the furthest you can go with AD is 20. He's a top 20 player in the league. Me personally, I feel top 10. And it's like when you swapped. Luka to me is top five. You swap top five for top 10, well, the later half of the top 10. And you improve on things you need, because the Mavs needed better defensive players like they do. And Luka's we all know Luka's not known for his defensive capabilities. He's not at all. And they have a solid squad around them right now where they have the size, they have, and they have a solid point guard, dynamic point guard, and Kyrie. I'm a star. The other guys have came along pretty well. Like, Quentin Grimes, he's playing pretty decent. He's coming along. You have the vet, Dinwiddie, another veteran point guard. You have the pieces you need. You have the pieces you would need to have a championship roster. So I feel like as of right now, and AD is having an all-NBA all-NBA first team defense. It's not all NBA, all defensive first team season. He's having an amazing season. So I feel like with that gives the Mavericks a better balance instead of being more offensive. Because their defense isn't bad, but Luka is a defensive liability, let's be honest with it. And you still got Kyrie. So Kyrie's still going to be able to handle the ball, score the points and everything like that. And you still got all your bigs. You still have your Lively, your Gafford, PJ Washington. All of them are still on the team as well. So the Mavs have a very complete roster now. Where they can, to me, as of right now, I say the Mavs are probably the second or third best team in the West on paper. On paper, not standing wise, but on paper, they are like the second or third best team. I give them a slight. I would say if they can mesh together, I would take them over the Rockets right now for sure. And they've already, I don't know what it is with them and the Thunder, but they've already figured something out with the Thunder. I think they've beat the Thunder 3-1 on the season series, I want to say. They just beat them a couple nights ago, so they were already pretty competitive with the best team in the West. So I feel like they got a little better with the matchup with things, because they beat them without Luka in some of those games. Most recently, the one they had last week or so. So I feel like right now the Mavs are in position to win now. As far as out the East, they had to go against the Celtics or the Cavs, I feel like they'll be a solid matchup, especially for the Cavs, because they have a big to match. They have the bigs to match up with the Cavs' height as well, because the Cavs have Mobley and Jared Allen. I feel like they have a good front court to match the heavier team, well, the bigger teams in the league. The Lakers, on the other hand, it kind of puts them to where, like, we're not worried about winning now. We're looking toward the future. Like, we got to think about what's going to happen when LeBron retires soon. Because LeBron, he's still nice. He can still hoop. But you got to be real. LeBron only has probably about another 2 years he's going to probably play. And I think he's going to wrap it up. This trade might speed up that process, because unless the Lakers make another big move, which I think they might. I think they have a capability of making another move to get a big. I don't see the Lakers doing much this year, which is weird, too, because the Lakers were rolling. They were having a very good stretch of games lately. They've beat some very impressive teams. Like, at one point, it was like, oh, the Lakers only beating the Kings, because they played the Kings, like, three times in the span of 2 weeks, which I don't know what the hell Adam Silver does with the schedule, but it's wild how they play, how teams play each other so frequently in one little bunch, and then that's it. Like, I get why it's like that for, like, logistic reasons, like the travel and all that kind of stuff and back-to-back. I get it. But I feel like it's wild, too, because, like, why the hell did you play the Kings, like, three times in the span of 2 months? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, the Kings and Lakers season series is wrapped up already. It's been wrapped up since, I think, December. Maybe December, January. It's been wrapped up. Like, that's insane. So feel like with the Lakers, like, they were being some better teams now, because they beat the Boston Celtics. Don't count the Warriors. The Warriors suck. And then they beat the New York Knicks this past Saturday, which was an impressive one, because the Knicks are no easy team. Like, they're a very solid team. And it was kind of a start to finish, like, kept the foot on the gas, kept going. Kind of when it was like, I don't know if it was wire to wire, but it felt like it, because it didn't feel like at any point the Knicks were really, like, going to take over. Yeah, it just didn't feel like that kind of game. It felt like the Lakers had that from the tip. Like, they were fine. I didn't have any doubt they were going to lose that game. Of course, they beat the Warriors, but the Warriors they suck. I'm going to be honest. Warriors are trash. So, like I said, they've been playing better lately, minus their loss against the 76ers. That one, they kind of, I feel like they phoned that one in. I really do. I feel like they phoned that one in. I mean, that loss in, they didn't really too much hit. That was the game they played Bronny for like 12 minutes, and it was like, what are y'all doing? So, yeah, we're going to just let them have their fun and do their thing. Just let them put Bronny. Excuse me. Let them put Bronny in and do what they got to do, because I was like, yeah, they really did play the Kings 1, 2, 3 out of 5 games. In a 5-game stretch, they played the Kings 3 times. That's wild. That is so crazy. Okay. But I feel like the Lakers, you know, they were coming along. I still feel like they weren't going to go anywhere, because it's just the team itself. Like, I feel like it's too many limitations they have. Like, the defense would be fine, but it's like, when I feel like when they got the playoffs and the game slowed down, the points were going to be a problem, because they already don't score a ton as is. So I feel like they would have took a, I don't know. I feel like when it was all said and done, like the Lakers, when they got to the playoffs and they had to score in clutch moments and slow the game down, it would have been a repeat of the last 2 years. Especially if they would have won against the Denver Nuggets, it would have been a repeat. Like, okay, like, y'all had us fooled, but it's like, y'all can't close, because y'all have go to guys down the stretch, but they can't execute. It's been the MO. So I don't know. I feel like with that, I feel like the Lakers were really going to make much noise anyway. So them making this trade is them setting themselves up for life post LeBron, because they know that it's towards the end. And yeah, it's cool. It would have been cool to have Anthony Davis. Like, yeah, because people say for long, it's like, oh, the Lakers are going to be better off when LeBron leaves and it's just AD team. But the way it's going, LeBron's probably going to be here for another year or two. And AD, I believe, AD's not that old. People make it seem like, that's another thing I don't understand what's been going on. People make it seem like AD is like, if you're saying like AD is like 35. I'm like, he's not, it's not that old. Like, he's in his 30s, but he ain't towards the end of his career. Like, he still got a lot of basketball left. Cause he's just 31. Just 31. He'll make 32 next month on the 11th. Like, AD's not like he like ancient. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't understand that point. Like, he's not like he's not that old. Like, he's still in his prime. Like, you still got at least for him, I say AD probably got another 3 years of being at his peak before he starts kind of declining. Just about for health reasons why I think that, because he is injury prone. And that's another thing too. The last year he was not off the lineup as much. And this year he's been relatively healthy this year as well. He's out right now due to abdominal strain and all that kind of stuff. But again, based on past years, AD missing 10 to 12 games, I'm fine with that. Like, if he misses like about 10, 12 games, I'm cool with that. That's way better than prior years. Like, if he can only miss about 10 to 12 games a year, that's not a bad look to me. I feel like that's a win. That's a win for both parties, for the team and for him. So I feel like they just getting prepped for LeBron, for post LeBron, because they know it's coming to an end. And then, like, you would have waited till LeBron decides to leave, and you got an AD that's, you know, prone to injury. He'll be around 33, 34 years old. And how much time would you have to really, you know, like, build off of that? Like, how long would that maintain? With AD being the focal point and everything like that, with him being the focal point of offense, how many years of AD would you get? Like, he's up there, and he's not old as far as life, but as far as basketball career, he's older player. So it's like you wouldn't have long with him, like, to be like the guy. I feel like that's what the mindset is. Like, okay, yeah, but LeBron's not going anywhere. We can't trade him because he has a no trade clause. He's not going to leave because his son's here and it's LA, and he's established all his media companies and all his little businesses in LA. So he's not trying to leave LA for real. Like, the whole notion of LeBron getting traded or leaving LA, it sounds cool. It's fun to speculate, but LeBron's not leaving LA. He's not. It just wouldn't make sense for him at this point in his career, because this is what he set up for his future. Like, all his businesses and everything is set up in LA for him to transition to those, like, fully transition to those outlets once he retires. And yeah, he's not leaving. Plus, they're not trading. No one's going to trade for, I don't see anyone trading for LeBron and Bronny. I don't see that happening, because that would have to be a package deal. You would have to. There's no other way that would happen. You have to make that a package deal. And I don't see that being a thing. I just don't. So I think LeBron's going to stay in LA, especially because there's no trade clause. Like, he has to approve of any trade. And I don't see him going anywhere unless it was like the Warriors to go with Steph. Maybe that's a possibility. Because all those guys at this point, everyone on that team, all the big stars on that team are pretty much at the end of their rope. They about to ride off into the sunset. Steph has been playing very not Steph like this year. And that's due to the construction of the team and coaching, because Steve Kerr does some very questionable things now, and I don't approve of, but I'm not getting into that right now. So, yeah, it's just a lot going on real geek right now. It really is, but I feel like this move was more for Mavs. It's like, okay, we right there. I think we can win right now. Let's go ahead and get a piece we think can make us, can push us over to the edge. So we have a solid two-way player, and we have a guard that can dominate as well, that can get a bucket when we need to, also can facilitate. Like, we have that. We don't need to. So let's go ahead and try to win now. We'll get another star later. Take it. It's not easy to replace a generational star like Luka. That's not an easy task. Like, Luka is very much so. I know the weight concerns are a thing. I know that was one of the reasons they say they trade him, because they're concerned about his conditioning and his weight, and I want to give him the supermax. I get that. However, Luka is still a very special talent in the league. Like, I think he averages the third highest point per game in NBA history. And he's only been in the league, five, 7 years? He's only been in the league. So, yeah. He's been all NBA every year of his career, except for, he won't get it this year, of course. But I think this year and one other year, he didn't make all NBA first team. But, you know, I'm, I, it's like, it's, It just sucks they got rid of him. It does, because like Luka, I could tell he loved Dallas and he wanted to stay there. And now it's like, you gotta go to a new franchise, which will embrace him and be cool with him, anything like that. But it's like, man, like you got rid of a star, and especially in today's climate, because a lot of stars nowadays they throw bitch fits and all that kind of stuff so they can get their way and get moves where they want to go. That's just the culture of the league right now. Prime example, Miami Heat. That's my team. We love them to death. But Jimmy Butler is in that mode right now where he's trying to get moved and he's doing everything in his power to be an asshole and all that. Like, it gets annoying. And like, I don't want to go this and that. So, in the era now where stars want to stay, I feel like you got to keep them. I get the Mavs' concerns, but it's like, man, like, 25 years old and he's like top five in the league right now as we speak. So it's a win. It's to me, people saying like, oh, the Lakers fleeced the Mavs, or oh, it's a dumb trade, but I don't feel like it was a dumb trade. I feel like take your emotions and feelings out of it and look at it from a logical standpoint. You see why they did it. Like, the Lakers are setting themselves up for the future. And the Mavs, like, look, we just went to the finals. We one piece away. We don't even have Luka playing right now. We're still pretty. We're decent. We're good enough. Like, we just need one more piece. We need one more piece to shore up a few things, shore up this defense, and still get some offensive output. And we're good to go. And they got that with AD. So I feel like it's a fair trade. I do. I feel like it's a fair trade. Based on what the teams are trying to accomplish in the current state of things, like. Rob and Jeannie realized, like, look, we're going nowhere fast with what we got going on. We don't have any picks. We don't have any young players to, no young talent, no young players to really build with. So let's just try to trade for one. And the Mavs hit up the Lakers and said, hey, so what you think about AD for Luka? What you think about that? You think that's a cool idea? Thought they was BSing. They said, no, we're going to give you Luka. Like, just give us Max Christie and AD, and we're good. We're good to go. And give us your pick, and we're fine. We don't want to rob you like that. Let's just get the picks. I'll do it to you. Do your favor as a friend. And they went ahead and went with it. And here we are. Am I excited to see Luka with the Lakers? Yes, I am. I'm very much so excited to see him and LeBron together. I do have concerns about their starters, though, and their team in general. Because their starter lineup should consist of, it should be Luka. When he's healthy, it should be Luka, Reeves, LeBron, either Rui or Dorian Finney-Smith will start probably at the four. And then you have Jackson Hayes at the five, most likely. They're small. They're really small. They lost their defense, and a huge portion of their defense, and they're small. Which the Lakers' defense wasn't all that elite like people think it is. Like, some people think it's really a top defense. It's really not. It's just they have a few players that can shore up. They can hide those, what's it called? They can hide those faults. Like Vandy, Dorian Finney-Smith, and AD. AD did a lot for them defensively, but they've lost that now. So it's like they have a big gap to fill as far as like defensive prowess going, how they're going to address that. And then that was kind of like JJ's MO, saying like, we're going to be a defensive team. We're going to be a defensive team. And you just lost your biggest piece defensively that you have. So it's going to be very, interesting to see how that plays out with the Lakers. If they don't make another move, cause I feel like another move is in the works. They're attempting to get that accomplished. Whatever they have to do it, don't know. But I feel like they're working on trying to get some bigs for sure. Like they kept most of their first round picks that they had left. I think they had two or three. They only had to give up one. So they have opportunities to move around and make another move. Same with the Mavericks. The Mavericks have a few players that can get moved and everything like that. So I think the Mavs are going to make another big trade. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Right now, I think the Mavs are in position to compete for a championship this year now, for sure. I think that they can be on par with Oklahoma City. Like I said before, they've already beaten them in the season series, but again, the regular season and the postseason are two different ball games. But I do like what the Mavs did a lot. I really do. And I'm very interested to see what goes on for the rest of this season. Lakers pretty much cooked. I'm sorry. All my LA friends and fans out there, y'all cooked. Y'all just gave up the now for the future. That's pretty much what it is. I don't see y'all doing anything. Y'all might make the playoffs. You'll be cute. And then go home. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. And we're going to be there. That was one trade. Then today, well, yesterday, Sunday, had another blockbuster trade occur. We had De'Aaron Fox get moved to the San Antonio Spurs. Now, that trade, I like that one a lot. I was pushing for that trade to occur. I wanted that to happen because I like that movement a lot of Swiper with Wemby. Yeah, that's a nice trade. And I love how they pulled it off because they didn't have to give up. They didn't really give up anything. That's the greatest part about about that trade itself. Like, they didn't give up anything at all. They just let it happen. Because, let me pull it up. I want to make sure I get the... There's a lot going on in this trade. There's way more going on with it than the other one. All right, so for this trade, the Spurs receive De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. The Kings receive... It's a three-team trade, by the way. It's the Spurs, Kings, and Bulls. The Kings receive Zach LaVine, City Sissoko, or something like that. I can't pronounce that. I'm sorry. They got three first-round picks, 2025 pick from the Hornets, 2027 pick from the Spurs, and a 2031 first-round pick from the Timberwolves. And then the Bulls receive Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter. They got their 2025 first-round pick back from the Spurs that the Spurs had from prior from, I want to say that was the DeMar DeRozan trade that they got that pick from, if my memory serves me correctly, how they received it from there. So they just got their pick back. So it's like a pick swap, like a pick swap, but not like the ones you normally see where it's like, oh, 1 through 14 protected. It was just they did a pick swap beforehand. So with that, it's wild because the Spurs didn't have to give up any of their young players at all, which was shocking to me because I thought they would at least have to come off of like a Keldon Johnson or Devin Vassell, Stephon Castle. I thought they would have to get off of one of those names to receive Fox, I'm not gonna lie. But the fact that they were able to keep all of their young pieces and get Fox to pair with Wemby, that's impressive. I'm sorry. Like, I know people are saying they piece on the saying like, well, I don't think this was like, but nah, this was a very good trade for every party involved. I feel like the Kings got LaVine and DeRozan back together. I feel like it's going to be a good, they played well together. They did. So I feel like that's going to be a good roster. I don't think they're going to be world beaters or anything like that, but I feel like they're going to be competitive. They can at least make the play-in. I'm going to get them play-in as they're selling. I don't see them doing much else. The Spurs can get the play-in too. They could possibly get, depending on what happened with the Lakers too, depending on what happened with the Lakers post-AD trade, they could possibly make it rise up the ranks too. Because the Spurs are only 3 games out from the 10th seed right now, which the Sacramento Kings currently hold, which is hilarious. Phoenix is the 9th seed right now. They're 25-23. The Mavs are 26-24. They should rise up. They should improve that. The Timberwolves are 27-22. The Timberwolves are kind of they're in the middle of the pack. Ant's carrying them right now. I'm not gonna lie. It's Ant carrying the hell out of them right now. Between him, Naj Reid, and Jaden Daniels, because Julius Randle fucking sucks. The Lakers are the 6th seed right now. We're 28-19. That's subject to change depending on how they look post AD trade with Luka in the mix now. Cause they did lose a lot of defense and size. Like, the Lakers are really small now and they lost a big chunk of their defense. And they were already a middle of the pack defensive team anyway. Like, don't be fooled by what the Twitter pages and everything say. Like, they were not that great defensively. They were not. The Lakers are exactly what their record is. They the sixth seed in the West right now. That was literally what they played like. They played like a middle of the pack team. They were not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. Don't be fooled by the recent stretch of wins they was having going on. They just haven't. They're a mid team. They're a mid team. They're doing what they're supposed to do. That's all I can say about the Lakers. And then you got the Clippers as the fifth seed. You have the Nuggets as the fourth seed. The Rockets are the third seed now because the Memphis Grizzlies won tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Memphis Grizzlies are the two seed. Rockets three, and then Oklahoma City Thunder is the one seed. They're more than likely going to finish out the season as the one seed in the West. So the West is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out with all this movement of these teams. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I feel like the Spurs can go on a nice run and move up the rankings. Because you got to think about it. They still have Chris Paul, which is the vet. The Chris Paul effect is real because Chris Paul, no matter where he goes, you can say what you want to say about him in the playoff failures, but no matter where he goes, the team that he gets on, they get better. They get better to some degree. It varies on how much success they attain, but they get better. That's been everywhere he goes. They get better. And the Spurs, although they are 21-25, they are much improved from last year. They are, in my opinion, they're much improved from last year. So, because last year they were 22-60 last year. They're already 21-25 this year. So they're going to beat their win total. They're going to shatter their win total from last year. And that was before the Fox trade. So think about it. Like it was already improving. Like, yeah, they weren't like top of the league and all that kind of stuff, but you saw the improvement. Like, they were better. And Wemby's taking a leap. Wemby has taken a leap. There's no sophomore slump. He's actually gotten way better. I'm scared for how he's going to look in a couple years because he's in year two already looking like he's going to be a top five player in the league soon. Like he's on his way. He's going to probably be the best player in the league in about 2-3 years. It's insane. He's probably going to win the fifth player of the year this year as well. I don't see him losing it to anybody. He's more than likely going to win that. So, yeah, Wemby is on another level right now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see. Because they have Chris Paul, De'Aaron Fox. They still have Stephon Castle, Devin Vassell. Jordan Champagne. Or it might be just Jordan Champagne. I can't remember if it's Champagne. It's like Champagne, or it's like Champagne. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name. It's spelled a little different, so I can't really remember how to pronounce it. They still have, let's say I said, Keldon Johnson, Devin. They have Jordan, what's his name? Jordan Sockin. They still have him. Yeah, they got a squad, man. The Spurs got a nice team building, and they lost. All they had to do was give up, two picks? They gave up two picks to get De'Aaron Fox, and they still have three more, I believe. I believe they still have three more first-round picks that they can play with. So, and people want to play with Wemby. It's not like nobody wants to go there situation. Like, they want to go play with Wemby, like, especially a guard. I feel like any guard will want to go play with Wemby because it's like, yeah, I mean, it makes the game so much easier for you. I feel like anybody want to go play with him. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I feel like the Spurs are going to probably be a play-in team. I had them, when I did my predictions, I had them as a play-in team this year regardless. But I think right now they're pretty, in my opinion, I feel like Fox is going to mesh well with them. And I think with Chris Paul still being there, they can literally have Fox more off the ball. Because he's more of a scorer in a way. Like, yes, he can play make and all that. But I feel like he's better as a scorer. He's like the modern point guard. So I feel like with him and Chris Paul in a backcourt, that would be a nice setting. And you got Stephon Castle coming off the bench. Yeah, it's going to get real nice. And even if you get to the point where you're like, hey, Chris, get to the bench. Stephon Castle and De'Aaron Fox, that's a nasty backcourt. That's a nasty backcourt. That's a nice backcourt. In fact, like it's one of the top ones. It'll be one of the top ones in the league in a couple of years. Not currently because Stephon got a way to go. But I feel like future, that's gonna be one of the best backcourts in the league. And they're going to lock Fox up though. He wanted to play at Wemby. This has been talked about for a while. He wanted to play at Wemby, so he's going to sign an extension there. So they're going to have Wemby and Fox for the foreseeable future. So I'm looking forward to seeing these new faces in new places. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like more moves will occur. These two power moves have like jump started like a thing. Like, man, we gotta make some calls, see who available, kind of make some more moves. So I feel like we're going to have a very exciting trade deadline for the first time in a couple of years, because the last ones have been kind of trash. But I feel like this is going to be one of the better trade deadlines. It already is, in my opinion, because we've had two major blockbuster trades occur in a span of 48 hours. So it wasn't even 48 hours. It was 24. It was within 24 hours that all this has even occurred. So I'm excited. So I'm going to end today's episode here on that note. Not gonna go too much more into it. Feel like to wrap it up. I feel like the Mavericks made a move for now, and I think it was a good move. I think it can benefit them if the rating of this trade is going to be dependent on if the Mavs win a championship in the next 3 years. I say 3 years, they should win a chip. They got 3 years to win a chip to say like this trade was worth it. If you just get one, as long as you get one chip out of the deal, it's like, okay, I see what y'all are doing. If you fly on your face and get nothing out of this, it was a waste of time, because you traded away your future, because Luka's only 25. He's like 25. You traded away your young star for a ring now, and you didn't get it. So you could have just been better off keeping Luka. At least you would have had something set up for the future, because Kyrie's getting older as well. Kyrie's not a young man anymore. He's getting older as well. As far as basketball goes, he's getting older now. So, again, we're going to see with that. That's going to be interesting to see. The Lakers, clearly you're not worried about winning right now. You said fuck LeBron, fuck Clutch Sports, all that, because you said they didn't tell them about the trade or anything. So, apparently now you guys are trying to win for the future instead of the now. I respect it. You got to build a team around Luka, though. You got to say, look, LeBron, we're not building things around you anymore. This is all about Luka. Whatever Luka needs to succeed, we're going to get. And if you don't like it, you got to leave. At this point, like, just retire. Because you can't have it both ways. You can't try to build around LeBron to win now and then have Luka there just wasting his years. Like, no. You need to build a team around Luka right now in order to set the future up. So, that the Spurs are set up to build upon this. This is a building move for them. Like, it's a big move for them, but it's also a building move for them. They're not going to be like world beaters and all that right away, but they're heading in the right direction. Like, the Spurs, they keep developing a young talent, or they can make another move and get another vet. It's depending on however they want to play it. The Spurs literally have control of how they want to move going forward. It's how they want to map things out. I mean, personally, keep the young players for a little while longer and make some trades in the offseason. And then move some pieces out if you need to. Because a lot of them are still on good contracts. So I would say another year and then move them on out, get you another piece. And then let Chris Paul go in here and retire, because he's coming up soon too for retirement. And you'll have you a crazy team. You'll have Fox, Castle, Vessel, Johnson, Wemby. Like, you got a solid squad right there. You could keep Sokin or Champagne, however you say his name. You keep one of them too. You have a team. You have a solid team. You really do. So the Spurs are going to be very. I think the Spurs are going to be very fun to watch in the coming years. I think they're going to be very fun to watch. So we'll see. So with that being said, that's going to wrap up this breaking news episode. Is what I'm going to refer to this as with the NBA season. I'm excited. See what's gonna happen. I'll talk about the Super Bowl later this week. We'll probably say that for Friday. That'll be a Friday episode. We're gonna save it for that, because yes, it's gonna be multiple episodes this week. It will be. So we're gonna probably say it for like a Friday. So with that being said, appreciate y'all stopping by. Appreciate y'all listening. Love each and every one of you for the support y'all give. And all the love and support y'all get to the podcast. Also, if you haven't and you want to, you know, still out there, year still is young. Last episode I mentioned about having a theme for the year, what's your word? I got a few in, and I love the ones that y'all chose, and I love the mindset and purpose behind them. So, you know, keep dropping them in, because I've really been enjoying the reading them I have. And with that, I bid you all adieu. Take care of yourselves and enjoy them, and I'll see y'all next time. Peace out.